Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 13th, 2021. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is taken from that Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. I'm going to show it on the screen once again so that you see a little bit of a flavor of what's going on. We kind of forget that Jesus was a very, very busy person. For the 3 years that he was there, he was preaching and teaching. He was praying, sometimes prayed all night long. People were crowding around him all the time, wanting to be healed, wanting to learn more about what Jesus offered. So now please, again, give your attention to Mark chapter 3.
Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus entered the house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked.
Yeah,
Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
So far, the word of our God. When Jesus was walking around on this planet, before he ascended to heaven, it was really hard to get close to him. It was really hard to understand exactly what he's doing. All of those things are going on. He picked 12 guys. We call them the 12 disciples, the apostles. And they were set aside to learn from him, like an ongoing confirmation class, 24 hours a day for the next 3 years. How cool it would be to be in that group, to be close to Jesus and hear him explain things that you just didn't quite understand. Now, just so that you are aware, we will be talking about demons, we will be talking about the unforgivable sin, but we're not going to lose sight of what Jesus was overall teaching. He was teaching that in Jesus, we all do fit together in Jesus. That's where everything is. Just to show you how distractible we are, Jesus is going along and is healing people. So what happens? People start to crowd around him because they want to be healed. And this is even before COVID-19. They want to be healed of leprosy. They want to be healed of a broken bone. They want to be healed of some kind of terrible disease. Nobody has the solution, so they go to Jesus to hear that he can heal people. And crowds of people, sick people, be going around him. Of course, let's not forget the ones who had all these questions. What's he doing here? Let's not forget his family, his mother and his brothers. They think Jesus has gone loopy. He's not even taking time to eat. What's up with that? It's probably all those people. So they go to take him away. The word is the same word that you would use when you would send out soldiers to arrest people. It's not done willingly. They want to go out and they take someone unwillingly into their possession to go somewhere else. That is the word that's used to describe what the family wanted to do to Jesus because he was talking too much, too many people coming, and he had no time to eat. And then, of course, let's not forget those guys from the big city coming down. They're really upset because those religious leaders are seeing that their power over people is going away because Jesus keeps on talking about God's full and free forgiveness. Jesus keeps on talking about the God who loves them, no strings attached. Oh, we can't have that. So they go up and they see the miracles. They see the miracles happening. They see demons cast out of people. Instead of going to their knees, they say, "Wow, of course Jesus didn't cast out demons because he's a head demon guy anyway. He is in cahoots with them." Now, any one of those things, Jesus could go and attach some kind of great, deep, hour-long lecture. Instead, he summarizes the whole thing at the very end by saying, "My mom and my brothers are the ones who hear and do God's will." So what's he talking about? He's talking about puzzle pieces. That's what he's talking about. I don't know if you know this or not, but up here is a picture. It's not normally here. My puzzle piece is on that picture somewhere. I don't know where it is. Now, I've been looking at that thing for a long time. I can't find exactly where this puzzle piece is supposed to be. That's kind of how life is. I kind of don't know. I want to get close to Jesus like the 12 apostles, but there's other things that come in the way. Maybe there's sickness or sorrow. Maybe my heart's breaking. I can't get close to Jesus like those apostles did. I can't even get close to Jesus like those sick people do. And so what happens? I get mad. God, how come this is happening? And I become just like those religious leaders, and I take it out on God, just like Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, God, who created the snake that tempted us? Who created Eve to tempt me, God? And they blame God for their rebellion? We are so wicked through and through. How do you help people like that? As you're looking at this puzzle piece, trying to figure out what's he talking about, I want you to understand that when Jesus started to explain everything, when his family was coming at him, when these religious leaders were coming at him, when the sick people were coming at him, when everything was coming at him, Jesus went to his enemies as well as his friends, and he gathered them to himself to teach them. We normally don't do that. If you're my enemy, I don't say, oh, here, come, let me help you understand things better. I normally don't do that. Why? Because we don't like that. Jesus is love in the flesh. He wants his enemies in heaven. How does he do that? He wants them to understand what God says in his word. Like this puzzle piece. At the end of my life, I'm not going to know. Well, right now, I'm kind of wondering about these sharp edges. And maybe part of my life is just like the backside. It's not colorful at all. It's just all kind of gray. What good is this? What good is my life? So I trust what Jesus says in his word, and I do what Jesus says in his word, and I just trust that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. So I take my load of sins to Jesus, and I say, I'm sorry. I have blown it from beginning to end. There is no good in me. Every thought of my mind and my heart is only evil all the time. I was conceived in sin, Lord. I have nothing to offer you. And at the end of my life, trusting what Jesus did for me on the cross, I have a neat surprise waiting. I'll stand before my Lord with my little puzzle piece of my life, and I'll say, you know, I got nothing here. I am so sorry. And he'll say, child, come in. I got a place all prepared for you. And while I'm scratching my head trying to figure this out, I can imagine my Lord saying, here, give me your puzzle piece. He'll take my puzzle piece, and he is the master of this, and he'll put it exactly where it's supposed to be in the puzzle of time. And then I'll see exactly how God used my life as part of his plan to rescue people, to bring them into heaven. It's not your family ties, said Jesus. It's not your religious muckety-muck PhDs or whatever that gets you close to Jesus. What happens is, it's those who trust him. Those who say, you know, Lord, you said to do this. Okay, I'll trust you on this. I don't have to do anything to get forgiveness. There's not a single string attached that I have to do something to make you love me. Okay, I will trust that. Thank you for rescuing me. That's the puzzle piece that gets you into heaven. What God has done for you and me in Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that this week? I'm hoping that you're going to find some time to use this puzzle piece to maybe share with a friend. There's no guarantee on that. I'm hoping that somewhere along the line, someone opens up a conversation, and I'm praying that God opens up a conversation between you and somebody who does not know who Jesus is. And when that happens, I'm praying that you remember, oh, I got to tell you about this. He's just, every now and then, this pastor, he just does weird stuff. Gives out puzzle pieces in offering plates. What is up with that? And then start a conversation. Well, what do you mean, what's up with that? Well, he gave a puzzle piece so I would remember the sermon. Well, what's the sermon about? Well, the sermon's about how Jesus stayed calm and focused to try to reach people who hated him, who called him the son of a devil. Because they were captured by the one sin that is the eternal sin, the one sin that cannot be forgiven. We learned today about the unforgivable sin. What's the unforgivable sin? The one sin that God cannot forgive is when we refuse to believe that Jesus has forgiven us our sins. If you refuse that, you don't get into heaven. So that sin sticks with you forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus doesn't want that. Your pastors don't want that. You don't want that. You have the good news that God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven your sins. Share that with somebody. In Jesus' name, so let us live this week. Amen.